Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says that the Word of God is forever settled in heaven. And He has placed His Word above all His name. In other words, God submits Himself to His own Word because of His integrity. And so, likewise, you and I, what we say, amen, needs to mean what we mean. And we need to also be responsible for what we're saying, amen. And if we're going to say something, then we need to live up to what we're saying. Otherwise, we're what? Hypocrites, yeah. I think if we're all honest, we've all played the hypocrite at least once in our lifetime. Maybe many times without, not necessarily even intentionally, but sometimes we are influenced by external influences and people and groups that we may be with and that have influenced us, and we've wanted to fit in, so we kind of played the part that was expected of us, and that's called hypocrisy because you're basically stage playing, right? You're acting out a part. It may not be true to who you are in your nature, but sometimes we have tried to conform to an image that is not true to who we are. And as a child of God, as a new creation, we are to conform to Christ, amen, and no longer to the pattern of this world. We're new creations, amen, not a patch job, but brand new in the Lord, hallelujah. He said, I'll make everything new, and He begins from the inside out. The world is good at making things look good externally, amen, but God works on the invisible part of the heart, amen. And so He judges according to the heart, doesn't He? And I want to talk today about our responsibility to God and to man as believers, as followers of Jesus, our responsibility to God and man. And so that is the title of the message, our responsibility to God and man. I don't know how many of you here have been trying to sort all this out and figure it all out. And how many here have done a little research on what's happening and trying to figure out what's going on? Let me just say this. I don't believe that this COVID-19 is a hoax. Okay? It's a real thing. Do I believe that it's been exaggerated in some ways? Yes. Has it been politicized? Yes. But nonetheless, it is a reality in our world today, and people are dying from it. And so we have to kind of sort through all this and what we're hearing, because you can listen to two different doctors and they're giving us two different reports. One is saying, don't wear a mask. The other one says, you should wear a mask. And so, as a pastor, I'm kind of caught in the middle of, well, where do we draw the line, or what? How do we handle this when you have so many differing opinions about this whole thing? And so, no matter what you do, you're not going to please all the people, what? All the time. It's impossible. So what we need to do is pray and get direction from the Lord and say, Lord, what would you have us to do? And how many know that the safest place to go for answers is the Word of God? Amen. Let this be your standard of faith and conduct, and pray and ask God to give you His wisdom. The Holy Spirit will reveal to you the truth. And so we pray and we ask God, the Holy Spirit, to reveal the truth to us. Amen. To reveal the Father's heart to us. In Romans 13 and verse 1, it says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Now, before I go any further, I want you to be careful not to shut me down or shut me out before you have allowed me to speak the entire message. Sometimes the enemy will get in our heads and we may hear something that we don't agree with, or maybe it hasn't been clarified. And then what happens is all we can think about is that thing that was said that I didn't agree with, and we can end up shutting down the rest of it. Are you hearing me, somebody? And I say that whenever you listen to a message, you should always prayerfully consider what's being said, even if it's from an unbeliever. Amen. How many know that God can even speak through unbelievers? So we need to be listening to what God is saying and spit out the bones. So no matter how we approach this thing, you're not going to please all the people all the time. You just have to get over that. Amen. And understand that we're not called to please people. We're called to please God. Amen. So let that be our focus of this. We want to do what God says is right. And so Romans 13, unfortunately, this very passage has been used by dictators in the past. I believe even Adolf Hitler used this to try to justify some of his evil behavior and to use this as somehow a justification to oppress people. And so at the time of this writing, if give a little context here, Nero was the emperor. Now, Nero was wicked. Amen. And he was the kind of guy that would delight in dipping Christians in oil and lighting them on fire. Okay, to light up his orgies. This is how sick this man was. So at the time of this sick dictator, Nero, Paul wrote this to the Romans. He wrote this in Romans, Amen 13. So what had happened was there was a fire that destroyed half of the city of Rome. And he blamed that on the Christians. And how many know that the enemy is a master at deception and using propaganda and using the media, amen, to manipulate and control the way people think? And so we have to be very careful about what we hear coming from the media, primarily right from the secular media, because I don't believe most of what I hear from the secular media. But he even had Christians sewn up in animal skins, and they were thrown to ferocious dogs to be torn to pieces. This is what this guy was doing. And so Paul wrote this at that time when this was actually going on. And so a question we need to ask today, and I want you to think about this, does God want the state to exercise authority in and over the church? Absolutely not. Now, in the New Testament, if you look throughout the New Testament, there's no evidence of the churches and their practices being directed by the secular authorities. And so the direction and the leadership of the church was given to appointed elders, those that were chosen among the Christians to be leaders, men of mature character. And so in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, it says, "Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in word and doctrine." So, you know, I think you only see the word pastor used once in the Bible, that actual term of pastor. The elders were actually to shepherd, okay, the church of God. So a shepherd is a pastor. A pastor is a shepherd, okay? And so the elders were to shepherd the church of God. So these were pastors, okay, people that were put in charge of the church, okay? And they were supposed to rule and to take care of the affairs of the church and even deal with internal situations and issues that came up. Even when it had to do with legal matters, they were not to go to the secular authorities with their problems. They were supposed to work it out within their ranks, okay, within the church. And so it says, "Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine." So the church is supposed to be governed by the fivefold ministries that Jesus ordained. Amen? And in Ephesians 4:11, it says, "He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the working of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Now, for what reason? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers were given for the purpose of equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. All of us are called to join in the work of the Lord. Can you say amen to that? So every one of us here is a minister. And God has given you a measure of authority, and he's given you a domain, he's given you a place. And wherever you find yourself, you're supposed to blossom there. You're supposed to bloom there. You're supposed to be light there. You're supposed to be salt. You're supposed to be the influencer and not the other way around. So the church's beliefs and practices were not to be in any way controlled by the secular authorities. So as to matters of faith and practice within the local assemblies, the secular government was not to intrude. All right, now stay with me because I want to go somewhere with this. So there is to be a separation of church and state. Okay? The problem is that we have liberal judges who like to reinterpret the Constitution and twist things to fit their own narrative that aren't true to our founding fathers and what they established at the inception of this nation. And so we need to understand this so that we can have a proper perspective on how this all works together. Do I submit to the governing authorities? The Bible says yes. But how do we do that? As unto the Lord. So we know there are three laws. There's the law of God, there's the law of nature, and there's the law of man. Amen? If the law of nature is, you know, tampered with, if people think I'm just going to flush my toilet into the stream and then I go and drink the water, come on, you know, there are problems, right? There are certain laws that you shouldn't violate. Amen? If you decide that you think you're Superman and you want to jump off a 20-story building, right? Well, the laws of gravity are going to be in effect, right? And you're going to come crashing down. So, likewise, there are laws given to man for the purpose of protecting man. Now, a good law is there to protect the citizens of that country. Can you say amen? Not to oppress, but to protect. And so there is a separation here, and there is to be a separation between church and state. Now, are we to be subject to the governing authorities? Yes. Okay. As long as the laws do not contradict the word of God, which is the highest law. Amen? This is where we have to be very careful that we're not bowing down to another God by bowing down to authorities that are not bowing down to God Almighty. All right? So we need leaders who are God-fearing men and women. Amen? Who are subject to the Lord in their leadership. They make the best leaders because a person who's under authority has authority. And today it seems like there is a breakdown of authority, of law and order. We're living in lawless times. We have governors and mayors that say, I'm not going to answer to anybody else, yet they want the people under them to answer to them. But a person who is under authority has legitimate authority. But a person who is not under authority is rogue. Okay, I'm going somewhere with this. God established human government after the flood. In Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. Capital punishment. God is for capital punishment. Why did he establish that? To protect the innocent. Amen? That there would be justice in the land, that people will understand that there are consequences for breaking the law. Because when you take away the law, what do you have? You have chaos, you have anarchy, and anarchy brings destruction and the collapse of any society. And so the decree gave authority to men to judge criminal matters and to punish offenders. So God has instituted human government. But no government exists, hear me, apart from his will. Now, just because I don't like whoever's in charge does not mean that I can take myself out from under their authority when it has to do with civil things, civil issues, right? This is where we have to be careful because God looks at this. Why? Because God establishes the authority that there is. He ordains it. And he puts people in place. And sometimes God will put people in place to punish his people, to wake them up. Read your Bible, amen, throughout history. Even Israel, amen, God raised up kings sometimes as a chastening rod, or even their enemies sometimes, to chasten them, to bring them back to God. And it doesn't matter whether we like it or not or agree with it or not. That is the truth. And I have to be careful that I don't have a rebellious heart. Because God looks at that. And if you want authority in your life, if you want legitimate authority, if you want kingdom authority, you're going to have to learn to be a good steward of that which is least. That means be a good citizen. Pay your taxes. Do what's right under the law. Amen. Obey the laws of the land. As long as they don't contradict the word of God. Okay? In Romans 13 and verse 3, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. So, again, in any ordered society, we must have laws. We must have rules. They're designed to protect us. And otherwise, again, you have a state of anarchy. And no nation can survive very long under anarchy. And, of course, the enemy would love to destroy America. And so he's got a lot of people stirred up right now through the media and through the narrative that they keep pumping into people's minds. And a lot of people, they don't do any research. They just swallow everything they hear and believe everything they hear. Or they follow the crowd. Well, what's popular? What is the crowd doing? That's what I do. Many people, you can ask them, well, why are you here? And they can't give you a good reason, just because somebody else is here or my buddy's here. How many know that the Lord has given you and I charge of ourselves? Amen? And he's given us the right to have our own opinion and to think for ourselves, to be critical thinkers even, and not get into a hive mind of just accepting whatever's popular at the moment as being truth. So verse 5 says, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. In the New Living Translation, it says it this way. So you must submit to them, not only to avoid punishment, but also to keep a clear conscience. In other words, I'm not just doing what I'm supposed to do because I'm afraid of getting caught or getting in trouble, but I'm doing it unto the Lord, all right? To have a clear conscience towards God and towards man. Even Paul himself said, I always strive to have a conscience void of offense towards God and towards man. So we need to try to find a place where we can live at harmony, to live at peace without compromising what is morally correct or right. For there's no authority except from God. We read that in verse 1. And the authorities that exist are appointed of God. And so even though some authorities will twist Scripture to try to justify their bad behavior, it does not give us a license to disregard that office, okay, that God has placed there. We have to respect the office, all right? And that God has ordained authority that is. Even the kings of the earth right now, the presidents and the prime ministers around the earth, they have been placed there by God, whether we like it or not. How many know that this election could have gone either direction? God determined that Donald John Trump would be our president. It could have gone either direction. There were people and forces that were trying whatever in any way they could to try to win this election. But God ultimately decides who's going to be in charge. And I think even under previous presidents, some of those presidents were put in place to get our attention as well. Because the church in America has been lukewarm at best. I'm not saying all churches, but much of the church has been very worldly. Okay? We're more concerned about the world than we are the kingdom. And so God has to wake up his people every once in a while to get our attention to say, hey, you're spending yourself foolishly. You're wasting your life on vanity. I have an eternal plan, purpose for your life, and I want you to have an abundant welcome into heaven. Amen. I want to be able to say to you in that day, well done, my good and faithful servant. And sometimes his sons and his daughters, including myself, need to get that crook around our neck and get brought back into alignment. Can you say amen? Because he's a good father and because he loves us. And he wants only good for his people. And you and I, being representatives of him and being salt and light, are to be good influencers. Amen? In every way, because we represent him. There are no perfect human governments. Amen? They do not exist because human beings are not perfect. So no matter who's in charge, no matter whether it's your boss, maybe your pastor, your mayor, your governor, whoever it is, they're not going to be perfect because they're human beings. But we need to understand that God has put them in place for a reason. God wants order in society, because when there's a lack of order, when there's a lack of law and order, people get hurt. People's businesses get burned. Innocent people are affected, amen, when people decide to cast off all restraints and live a lawless life. The enemy's into the blame game. Blame this person for your problem. Blame that person for your problem. Blame your past. Blame the people of the past. Blame parents. Blame this person. Blame that person for your situation. You know, God is into forgiveness. God is into mercy and grace. God says, forgive. What does America need? It needs forgiveness. America needs reconciliation. God hates racism. Can you say amen? But he hates hypocrisy too. God does not want us to be at odds with one another. God does not want us to discriminate against somebody because of their skin color. Can you say amen? Because it's an insult to God who created that person in his image. He decided that we would look like we look and have the attributes we have and the talents and the abilities. I mean, God was the one that decided that I'd be so good looking. Scratch that from the record. None of us had a say in who we would be. God likes you the way you are. He created it. That sounds like a Mr. Rogers thing, doesn't it? Just the way you are. But we're unique. We're individuals. And God wanted you to be here. And God wants you to be who you are and be okay with who you are. And don't have to compare yourself. You don't have to feel ashamed or guilty about who you are. The Bible's clear that anybody who disobeys or rebels against the government is disobeying and rebelling against what God has ordained. So whoever resists lawful authority earns and deserves punishment. That's what we just read. So what about the separation of church and state? Now, nowhere in the Constitution, I used to have those little pocket constitutions, and I'd encourage you to get one and read it. Sometimes it's been too long. I reference it sometimes, but just so you understand what the law is, that is the supreme law of the land, that Constitution. And we have people that want to reinterpret it or disregard it altogether. Anytime any official disregards the Constitution, they are now rogue. They're no longer under the authority. Are you hearing me, somebody? So nowhere does the Constitution tell God's people to stay separate from the state and its activities. There are certain people that don't want the church involved in politics. They want a complete separation, and they twist the intent of the founding fathers when they wrote that separation of church and state. So I want to get into that a little bit more. And the word religion occurs only in the First Amendment, where restrictions are placed on Congress, not on the citizenry. So those restrictions were to tell Congress that you have no right to dictate how people are going to do their church service. Are you hearing me, somebody? But in other words, the citizens are supposed to be influencing the government, not the other way around. That's why the church needs to rise up and pray and live right, even by submitting ourselves to the lawful authorities God has placed over us. Amen. So that we are being a good example even to others that are around us. Are you hearing me? That we're good citizens of the United States, for example. So these liberal courts have increasingly been chipping away at the people's free exercise of their faith. And of course, the American media has played a big role in eroding this as well. Now, the Pilgrims and other settlers wrote this in the Mayflower Compact. This is dated 1620. That they had undertaken, quote, undertaken for the glory of God and advancement of the Christian faith and honor of king and country, their voyage to the New World. What was the intent of the Pilgrims and other settlers? It was for the advancement of the gospel. It was so that they have a place where they could, you know, worship God without being oppressed by the government and being told how to do that. So anytime the government tries to tell you how to do church or what you can say from the pulpit, they are contradicting the law of the land, which is the Constitution of the United States. So it's true. You and I cannot legislate righteousness, and this is what we need to understand. You can have many laws in place, but unless the heart of man changes, those laws will continue to be disregarded. So even though we are a society and a country, amen, that believes in the rule of law, at least many still do, the problem is the heart of man is wicked. And so people are born rebellious. All of us were born with a sin nature. We were born rebellious. That's why I had to begin in the home. We had to use discipline, amen, when our children were young, to protect them, even from themselves or from hurting other people. Teaching your children how to share, how to be kind, how to forgive, how not to steal from other kids. It starts out sometimes in nursery, right? They come up and they snatch that toy out of their hand and say, it's mine. It starts out, amen, early, because we see that children, as cute as they are, they have an evil nature. Amen. We're born with it. So we need to have discipline. We need to have rules to keep children, amen, from killing themselves and killing other people around them. Rules are good, but what really needs to change is the heart, because you can obey the rules and yet be rebelling internally. You can do what God says, but not be agreeing with it internally. The heart has to change for the person to truly change. And that's the difference between grace and legalism. In legalism, you just do it because you have to. In grace, you do it because you want to. In grace, you love God, and so you do what pleases Him. So here's an example. I know none of you have ever done this before, but an individual may behave well when the police car is in the rearview mirror. But what happens when the cop is no longer in view? See, lawlessness begins in the heart, doesn't it? And unfortunately, it's reflected in society. So as citizens of heaven, that's where our true citizenship is, right? In heaven. God expects us to be an example of good behavior in society because we represent Him. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, but you, the church of Jesus Christ, are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So when we're walking in the light, amen, that means that we're going to be good citizens as well. Can you say amen? 1 Peter 2:13 says, therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, listen, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of the Lord, honor all people. How many? Love the brotherhood.
Fear God, honor the king. Why? Because the authorities that exist have been ordained of God. I'm not suggesting, and neither is the apostle here, that we have to agree with everything they believe or teach or even what they do. We may not like their character. We may not like some of the things that they do. We may not agree with their opinion about how things should be done. But you know, it's easy for us to be armchair preachers. Well, if I were him, sitting back in your easy chair eating popcorn, well, if I were him, not understanding what it's like maybe to walk in the shoes, even of the governor. Again, you may not like the governor, but he's still the governor. And God has an expectation for his people towards those who are in authority over us. And again, I'm not suggesting that we ever violate or undermine the word of God. But when it comes to laws that do not undermine the word of God, we are to be subject according to the word of God. This is my authority right here. Amen. This is our authority, guys. And so sometimes I have to have an attitude adjustment once in a while. Because I can get on a rant really quick about stuff I don't agree with. And as a child of God, we are to represent the king. So you don't have to agree with the governor or the president or anybody else in authority, but we are not to dishonor them. 1 Peter 2:17, honor all people, one another. Amen. Love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. So what are some of our kingdom responsibilities? Number one, to show forth the praises of him who called us out of darkness. We testify to the grace of God. Look what the Lord has done in my life. People that are in the world need to know about what God has done for us so that they can come out, amen, out of the darkness and into the light. We need to fight against these fleshly lusts that war against the soul. We need to rely upon the power of God, amen, to overcome our fleshly inclinations, our desires that are in our flesh, our outer man. That sensual part. Amen. We have to deny that part of us. Starve it out. And feed your spirit. If you build up your spirit, man, praying in the Holy Spirit, in the Word of God, in fellowship, as much as you can. Amen. Keep yourself strong in the Lord. If you do that, then your fleshly nature will not be in control of you. You will have authority over that. Amen. You are to rule over your flesh. You are to rule over your body. Your body's never to tell you what to do. God gave you charge of your vessel. Somebody say amen. So we need to maintain good conduct towards those who are outside the covenant. And fourthly, we need to submit to the authorities placed in our lives. So if I understand Scripture, Peter seems to be commanding the believers to fit into the social structure of society with humility. In other words, I'm a free person and I'm a citizen of heaven and I can do whatever I want. Can you say amen? Nobody's going to make you do anything. But we do it for conscience sake. We do it because we want to honor God, okay, by being a good example. In society, any leader should be thankful to have Christians or followers of Jesus in their nation. If they're a good leader, they're going to realize that these people are actually some of the most loyal people. They're hardworking. They obey the law. They pay their taxes. That's a big one. Are you hearing me? Because if we're not going to be faithful in that which is least, that which pertains to man, then God's not going to entrust you with the greater riches of the kingdom. Do you see? There is a connection between the natural and the supernatural, between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdoms of this earth. And what we do in the natural has a direct correlation to the spiritual. If you're a giver, amen, there's a principle. Give unto God. Give God the first fruits. Bless, honor God with the first fruits of your increase. Amen? And even as you give unto man, you're giving unto God, amen, who has ordained people, for example, governments that are there, amen, supposedly, and for the purpose of protecting you. I mean, the craziness that we're looking at today, defund the police. Who really thinks that's a good idea? I was watching a little video clip of a young man who was defacing a statue. Okay, well, that's vandalism, all right? That's destruction of somebody else's property. I don't care how you look at it. That's not how you handle these things, amen? And so a bunch of people that were from that town were upset. And they were going to drive him into the ground like a stake. And they started going off on this guy. Okay? And he's one of these people that say defund the police. Well, guess what he was calling for then? And they started telling him, you hypocrite. Now you want to call on the police. These are the ones you want to defund. Guys, most of our police are good people. Come on. There's some bad apples. I don't care where you go. There's bad apples in church. There's some bad pastors out there. Amen? But you can't throw the whole baby out with the bathwater. You can't just say they're all that way because there's a few. But if you have an agenda and a narrative of trying to stir up trouble for political reasons, then you can get a hold of the media, and the media can present this thing as being something that it's not. I mean, one day everybody's getting along fine. All right? I'm not saying there wasn't a problem, but for the most part, people are getting along pretty good. I think our nation has come a long ways when it comes to race relations. But all of a sudden, the media gets a hold of this thing, and they start just exaggerating, and all you're seeing is the bad stuff that's happening. And if you keep filling your mind with this stuff, a diet of this stuff, you can actually start believing that it's really that bad. But then you look around in your world and say, I'm not seeing that. Well, I'm not going to say any more about that because I can probably go for another couple hours. But now, Christians ought to respect the office, regardless of the personal ethics of the man, because he has been appointed by God. Now, this is the thing. Paul was saying, submit yourself to the governing authorities, and you do it as unto the Lord. Okay, because God has ordained them. And again, this was written at the time of Nero's reign, this wicked leader. And so government is supposed to punish those who do evil and reward those who do good. Now, here's an exception. Here's Peter before the council. The angel had commanded him to speak in the temple. As a result, look what happened in Acts chapter 5, verse 27. This is because Peter was obedient to the angel of the Lord. Then they brought the apostles before the high council, where the high priest confronted them. Didn't we tell you never to teach in this man's name? He demanded. Instead, you have filled all Jerusalem with your teaching about him, talking about Jesus, and you want to make us responsible for his death. But Peter and the apostles replied in verse 29, what did they say? We must obey God rather than any human authority. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to matters of the Spirit and the directives that are given to us by God, when it comes to the Word of God, we are not to compromise. Amen. If human government tries to say you can't do what God tells you to do, then it carries no authority, because God's authority trumps all authority, because he has been given what? All authority. Jesus Christ has been given the name above every name. And he has commanded us, he has commissioned us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Amen? Whether it's popular or not. Because the will of man was contradicting the will of God. In this case, civil disobedience was the right course of action. Now, let me just touch on this a little bit. I hate wearing masks. Okay? What about wearing masks? What about social distancing? Again, if you do the studies, you can find one person, one doctor saying this and one doctor saying that. Some saying they're not good, some saying that you absolutely need to wear these to protect others. And so when it comes to some of these matters, it really is a matter of one's personal conscience. In other words, I'm not going to live an offensive life towards somebody that may feel insecure about me being around them if I'm not wearing a mask, okay? Do I feel like I have to wear a mask all around the place? No, probably not. I'm kind of torn sometimes. I'm like, I don't know if this is really what I should do or what I shouldn't do. But for the sake of those, for example, you go to Costco, okay? Some people say, well, it's your choice. You don't have to go to Costco because I'm just not going to wear a mask. So I'll stay out of Costco. That's fine. Okay? I'm not going to judge you for that, but don't judge me because I'm wearing a mask because I want to go into Costco and buy something. All right? So we need to be careful that we're not judging each other based upon our opinion about a matter that we don't necessarily have all the facts about, except that which we're hearing from people that are supposedly the experts. See, the internal affairs of this church are not to be dictated by the government. There is a separation in the first, all right, in the Constitution between church and state. But then we have to ask the question, is this a real situation that we're dealing with? Is COVID-19 a real thing? And I believe it is. There's enough evidence to say that people are dying from this, that people are getting sick. And I say to people, if you're insecure about coming into a public gathering, then stay home. We're not going to judge you for that. It's a matter of conscience, a matter of our personal views on things. Okay? But don't judge people who decide to go into public places, okay? And so we need to understand that this is a matter of just being respectful to someone else, okay, about how they feel about things. And not always having to be right. I can have my opinion and I can feel I'm completely justifiable in whatever I do. But I need to ask the question, am I being offensive to people? You can't please all the people all the time. I get that. But sometimes, guys, we need to make some compromises for the sake of peace and for the sake, all right, of others' conscience. So that we don't cause them to stumble. This kind of, I believe, ties in also with the situation about eating meat versus not eating meat. And Paul talked about, you know, some people feel it's okay to eat meat, and it is in the new covenant. Amen. Is with thanksgiving and prayer, receive whatever, you know, is placed before you. And then others have a conscience about eating meat. Maybe they're vegans. They don't want to eat anything, you know, any meat. Well, am I being loving towards that person by going to their house and pulling out a Big Mac? I don't suggest you do that, but when I'm sitting in a home where they're vegetarians and they have a conscience about eating meat, okay? Can we not just say, okay, for the day, I'm going to put the hamburger aside, all right? And I'll eat your whatever your soy stuff, whatever that stuff is. It's pretty terrible. I've eaten at some of that, it was like a soy chicken thing or whatever it was. It was nasty. I was like, man, I'm glad I'm not bound by that. But that was a matter of conscience for them, so I'm not going to be offensive. You know, because what we need to do is we need to find ways to bridge gaps with people so that we can teach them and preach the gospel to them. Amen. Share the Jesus with people. But if we're going around being offensive, we're shutting down people, amen? We're shutting off people. And let me just say this. Whatever you think about our governor, how many believe that God wants him to be saved? Okay, so why don't we do this? Why don't we start praying for his salvation? Every day, let's storm heaven for Jay Inslee, amen, to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. All right, because he doesn't see what we see because his eyes are not opened. And you can't understand the truth until the Spirit of truth comes, and that requires repentance. Well, God knows how to get a hold of people. And so I think we should pray that God would have mercy on this man, that God would forgive him, that God would open his eyes, that he can know the truth. Amen. And wouldn't that be great if this guy gets radically saved? Amen. On fire, filled with the Holy Spirit, how things can just shift like that. Instead of just criticizing and slandering someone who is actually an authority, whether we like it or not, that God has ordained. And again, I'm not justifying bad behavior. And we don't submit to any law that contradicts the word of God. Can you say amen? Such as abortion.
That contradicts him. And God's the author of life. Another thing, guys, we should never rejoice over the failures of others or our leaders. Don't gloat in that. You know, God is not pleased to punish people. But God in His mercy does so. I don't know how many here have disciplined your children when they were young, but it never was a pleasant thing. It's not like you wanted to, but you understood that it's necessary for your children's sake, amen, to discipline them. I believe the same thing is true, that God is not willing that anyone should perish, but that all would come to repentance. So we need to remember that. Even though sometimes our leaders are going to do things that really rub us the wrong way, we have to weigh this thing between, is it a violation of the Word of God or is it just an inconvenience? It's getting quiet in here. Legitimate authority. All right. That is authority that is under authority. Christians are not to place themselves above the law, but to submit to the legitimate authority over them. So when we refuse to submit to the legitimate authority in our lives, we are rejecting God's commandment. How we respond to our authorities is an opportunity to be a witness for Jesus. So ultimately, I'm going to finish with this. We are to submit ourselves to the royal law of love. Romans 13 and verse 9. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. How many know that love is not rude? It's not disrespectful. It's not self-seeking. It's not selfish. Love is considering somebody else before myself. So what should a believer do when his government is corrupt? How about get involved? Remember, you and I are supposed to be influencing the government and not the other way around. What we need is godly men and women, amen, in the government, righteous men and women in the government. So we need to pray, amen, that God will set things in order, amen, in our government system to where we can have peace in our nation again. Here it is, 1 Timothy 2 and verse 1. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for how many? All men. For kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. We are to pray for our leaders. And do not fret. You know, you can get addicted to negativity. You can get addicted to all the negative stuff. You know what I'm saying? It's easy. This thing is wrong, and that thing is wrong, and this thing is wrong, and that thing is wrong. And next thing you know, everything is wrong. Your whole perspective on life is just bad, because if you're focusing so much on what's wrong and not on what is good and true and lovely and pure, right, then you can start to get into that funk, and all of a sudden you're going to find even your health being affected by it. Psalms 37 and 1, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. They're not going to be forever. Verse 7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger. Everybody say, cease from anger. And forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Jesus Christ is coming. Hallelujah. He's going to establish His rule and His reign over all the earth. There will be righteousness, amen, and peace when the Lord returns from heaven. In the meantime, you and I are to be salt and to be light, amen. We bear the light of Christ. We are to love and to forgive, amen, and to build up one another,
Amen. To share the love of the gospel with other people. Amen. Until such time as the Lord says it's time to go get my children. Amen. In the meantime, guys, let's be about our Father's business. Let's be world changers in our world. Amen. Wherever we find ourselves, be the salt, be the light, be the influence there. Don't ever allow the devil to influence you. Amen. Listen, be influencers in our government. Let's get out and vote. Let's do what we can do. Amen. To be an influence here for good in our nation. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, Father, thank you for today. Thank you for everybody. Thank you for my family, my brothers and sisters. Thank you for the opportunity we have to be here, Lord, and the freedom we have in America to worship. God, I just thank you that we can do this. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for truth. For we'll know the truth, and the truth will keep us free, Lord. It'll make us free. Deliver us from evil and forgive us, Father, for the times, Lord, when we are ranting and fretting and getting caught up in the negativity, Father, and all the stuff that's going on around us. God, help us to keep tuned into Heaven Station, Lord, to turn our eyes upon you, to rest in you, to rejoice in you. God, you want your church to be happy. You want your church to be joyful. You want your church, Lord, to rejoice always. And God, we just pray that you would give us the grace, the strength we need daily. Lord, as we come to you for help, that you would strengthen us as your people with might in the inner man, that we will be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. God, we thank you for your Holy Spirit, that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. God, thank you for giving us the ability to overcome through our faith, our confidence in your promises. You are true to your word. You will confirm your word with accompanying signs. Father, we pray that you'd pierce the darkness of this age. God, we pray that you'd move mightily across this nation. Father, we pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, Lord, that you would awaken America. God, we pray that you will revive your church across America. We pray that you will wake up every slumbering saint, God. Bring back the wayward sons and daughters. Bring us back to you, back to the altar, back to our first love. God, set our hearts on fire again, where our whole life is centered in you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for each one that's here today. Father, I pray your shalom, your perfect peace, to guard our hearts and our minds. Lord, that you will fill us with the understanding, the knowledge of your will that concerns each one of us. Show us where and how we can be an influence for good, to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. Father, deliver us from the evil one. Deliver our nation. Send help to our president, Donald John Trump. Keep a hedge of protection around him night and day. We pray that you'd fill this man with your Holy Spirit. We pray that you give him wisdom in every decision he makes. We pray that you give him discernment, God, to know who to trust and who not to trust. We pray that you'd raise up righteous men and women around him, God, to hold his hands up and to give him wise counsel, Father. We pray even for Jay Inslee. Father, we pray that you would forgive this man, that you would have mercy on his soul. We pray, the Lord, you'd deliver this man from the evil one. Show him your salvation. Save him and his family. God, we pray that you would turn things around in this state. God, we pray for a revival in this state, in the Northwest, for a mighty outpouring of your Holy Spirit. God, let heaven come down in this city. Let heaven come down in the Northwest. Let your glory come down again, God, upon your church to empower her, to strengthen her, to encourage her. Let hope arise in our hearts again, that we can see beyond the momentary and see what you have for us, God, which is superior. I pray your kingdom come and will be done in each one of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.